In this week's editorial, titled Act Now, Don't Wait, I wrote about this slogan, which oftentimes is seen in advertising for the purpose of purchasing a product, when one receives a special discount or an incentive for acting on the offer right away. And if you don't, chances are you will miss out. This is something that we see a lot of, and chances are we probably all do that. Wait for a discount. I definitely do. I'm always searching to see which has the best deal. But it reminds me actually of a joke where there was some comic where there was a original priced item for $200 and not one person was going to touch that item. And then the next day, they change that sign to original price $300 crossed out with the sale price of $200, and everybody went flocking to it and bought the item. That probably does happen in real life, actually. And that's what happens, too, in the background music when people go and buy the item, because that helps, too. Anyway, but this same analogy can be applied to our spiritual lives by acting right away, by doing right and obeying God, just as He expects of us. Now, the urgency to act right away also requires us to be prepared, to be ready, to be aware of what is going on. And this is something we have been saying for decades through our messages and writings, echoing what Christ has been saying when He was on this earth, warning us to be ready. We're talking about thousands of years ago when Christ was saying that, get ready now. And why is that? Well, the reason why there is a time to act is because we do not know what tomorrow will bring. We do not know exactly when Christ will return, even though we have a general idea based on prophecy and what is occurring in the world, which is why it's important to always watch what is happening. But not only that, notice how fast time goes by. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away." 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, notice what David said in Psalm 90 and verse 4. Because he obviously knew much about this as well. Psalm 90 and verse 4. "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is in the past, or when it is past, and like a watch in the night." And then in verse 10, he says, "The days of our lives are 70 years. So this is pretty much talking about a broad sense of life, even at that time, in David's time. "And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And in verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And that, right there, was the key. We shouldn't be wasting our days, but we are to prepare ourselves by gaining knowledge and wisdom of God's way of life, for this fleshly life that we live right now is only temporary, as we get ready for an eternal life of ultimate happiness. And with that comes all the negativity that we don't have to worry about anymore. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sadness, no more worry, no more doubt. And we can really... something we really just can't comprehend yet, getting rid of everything that is negative in our lives to something that is all positive. So, why then wouldn't you want to be anxious for that day to come? I further state in the editorial that preparation is key. Using the knowledge that God has gifted us with is to our benefit, and we shouldn't neglect it by putting it off, but we need to use it right now. At all times. And you can compare Proverbs 6, verse 4. "And if we become too negligent, this can lead to laziness, which makes it more difficult to get back on track. And that is why diligence is also vital." Proverbs 13, verse 4. Wisdom is very fundamental, for we need to walk circumspectly not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days that we live in right now are evil. And that's something that's not going to change until Christ returns. Therefore, we mustn't be unwise, but we have to understand what the will of the Lord is. And Ephesians 5:15-17 talks about that. Now, no matter what is happening in our lives, whatever future plans we may have, that we may want to accomplish or experience, we still need to be excited for Christ's return. That is the most important thing. Willing to give up all for Christ, willing to die for Him. If you were to be asked this right now at this moment, would you give up everything you had now for Christ's sake? Now, for most of us in the church, that's an easy answer. It's like, well, how much do we actually have in our life right now? I mean, let's say physically. But let's say for someone who is rich and who's really well off and doesn't really think about having God, you know, needing God in their lives, what would they say? Do they really want to give everything up? But we may also have future plans. We may have goals that we want to accomplish, let's say, that we've been dreaming of, a bucket list, whatever it may be. Is that really that important? Instead of having Christ return? Well, the most important thing is to think about that, willing to give up all for Christ. We want to see God's kingdom. We would love to have that here right now. Now, do we see the urgency to be ready now, to spiritually speaking? We shouldn't get distracted solely on physicality, because that's not going to save us in that time when the end time comes. Do we then understand how much we need God in our lives, and without God in our lives, we are living a life of time and chance? In Ecclesiastes 9:11, we read that time and chance happen to them all. This isn't talking about true Christians, but referring to people in this world. People who only live and work for material possessions, who are cut off from God, and who don't understand what God's plan is all about, who haven't even been called to this way of life. That is not us. That is not us here, the true Christians in the church, that have been called to God's way of life. Notice what Christ said in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He didn't stop there. He kept on going in verse 14. "Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem?" Verse 5, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Christ is clear saying that if we don't repent, we may very well die. But if we repent, we will not likewise perish or die in that way as described through an accident, for example. And there are a lot of accidents out there. A lot of things happen, and you could ask yourself, why did that happen to that person or whatever? That's why. It says that life is very fragile, and unless you are not with God, let's say, and who knows what would happen. Yeah, I conclude the editorial by saying how we can easily get sidetracked through the distractions that surround us. And because we are aware of that, we need to have God in our thoughts and our actions continuously. This godly way of life we have chosen is for life. And if we fall behind at times, which does happen, we need to get back on track. Because if we don't, we could very well miss out on our opportunity to be in God's kingdom. Yes, there is an urgency to act now, and don't wait before it's too late.